Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Monday, June 13th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. That's R-E-I-D 34. If you're new to the show, please go to your podcast provider and rate and review. I'd love a 5-star review. Or hit me up on Twitter. Any thoughts, comments, feedback you have, always welcome. Always trying to get more subscribers and more followers to the show. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and if you haven't already, check us out at sportsethos.com, S-E-T-H-O-S. You can go there and get our packages. I'm part of the wagering team, so you can get our wager pass for $15 a month. And the last few months, we have far out-earned that cost for you. So for about 50 cents a day, you're going to get lots of input on baseball, on basketball as the playoffs, as the NBA comes to an end, the NHL Stanley Cup starts this week. And throughout the summer, obviously, you're going to get baseball, you're going to get football, and lots of college football and basketball coming in the fall. If you haven't already, we've got a couple new Twitter accounts I suggest you get on. One is Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball, and the other is Ethos Fantasy FB for football. Sending out regular tweets, updates throughout the season on players are in, players are out, thoughts, comments, obviously with a fantasy angle to it, but I think for wagering it definitely helps as well. And there's some great information being generated by our guys in those groups. If you are into props, we've also got a partner of ours that I suggest you check out. It's Thrive Fantasy, T-H-R-I-V-E. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or go to thrivefantasy.com. When you sign up, use the code ETHOS, it's E-T-H-O-S, to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Basically, pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And great, it's a lot of fun, easy to play. If you're looking for prop advice, you can obviously listen to this show. We give a few props. As I said, our Ethos Fantasy Baseball and Ethos Fantasy Football. We've got a regular DFS show as well for basketball. And lots of great ideas from Ethos regarding props, but I really suggest you go to thrivefantasy.com and check it out. It's a fun way to play individual player props throughout the seasons, sports seasons. And tonight we've got one game in the NBA, game 5 of the NBA Championship Series, and 11 on the diamond, which we'll get to all of these. But let's start in the NBA, where we have Boston at Golden State, series tied 2-2. Been a back-and-forth series, both teams winning a game on the road. And tonight we get the Warriors at home -4, total 210.5. You can get the Warriors in the money line at -170 and total 150. And just a quick recap on the series so far. Started at Golden State, and Celtics won 120-108, so they won by 12. 228 was the total. Game 2, the Warriors even series, 107-88. They won by 19. 195 is the total. Game 3 back in Boston, the Celtics won by 16. 116-100, 226 the total. And game 4, the Warriors evened it up, 107-97. They won by 10, 204 the total. So tonight's total of 210.5, we've seen the two Warriors wins go well under that, and the two Celtics wins go well over that. And as far as the spread, Warriors -4, I don't think it's going to be a -4 game. Whoever wins, I think, is going to be winning again by, I mean, we haven't seen a 10-point game yet. The closest game was last game. It was the Warriors won by 10. We've seen a 12-point, a 16, and a 19-point difference on top of that. So whoever wins, I think, is probably going to win by half a dozen or more. And I'm actually going to be on the Celtics catching the 4 points here. There's some value of +150. If you think the Celts are going to win, there's definitely thought value in +150, but I'm going to be a little more conservative. You know, I think there's a good chance they could win and not just cover the -4, but win by more than that. But just to be safe, there's got to be one game that's close in these finals, and perhaps this is it. I think it's going to be a great Great game tonight. I think this series is going seven. Even if the Celtics win, I could see the Warriors going back into Boston and win in Boston. Oddly enough, the Celtics have been playing better, not better, but have played really well on the road and decent at home, which is not the norm in the NBA, especially in the playoffs. So it's going to be a good final three games in this series. But I'm on the Celtics tonight to cover the four, minus four, or the plus four that they're catching. So on to baseball. 1 second, we're going to take a quick break and hit 11 games on the diamond tonight. All right, 11 games in Major League Baseball. None that really jump out. I mean, there's a couple plays I like, but none that really jump off the page, but we'll go through them quickly. We start in Philly, where we have Atlanta in town, and Atlanta starting righty Ian Anderson against young Josiah Gray for the Nationals. You can get the Braves around minus 150. And the Nats at about plus 130. Total here is 10. At basically even money if you're on the 10 at plus 100. I think there will be runs scored too. I'm still not a fan of Josiah Gray. He's a young pitcher. I think he's going to be decent, but he's been giving up a few too many home runs. And Ian Anderson has been good, but not consistent enough this year. So at minus 150, you can get the Braves minus 1.5 in the run line at plus 110. And I think they're on an 11-game win streak. So the Braves are hot. I would look to the Braves. I just don't like laying minus 150. And Josiah Gray, as much as I said, I'm not a huge fan of him. He has the ability to throw up some strikeouts and potentially limit this Braves lineup. I don't think so. I would lean the Braves, but not at minus 150. And the money line just isn't, or the run line just isn't really enough paying me 110. So I'm going to stay away from me. Next game is probably the best pitching matchup of the night. You have Miami and Philly. For Miami, you have Sandy Alcantara, who has been their ace and a Cy Young contender in the National League. First is righty Aaron Nola, who struggled out of the gates but has turned things around and pitched quite well lately. You can get the Marlins on the road, plus 110 on the money line, or Nola in the Phillies, minus 130. Total here is only 7.5. And even at 7.5, you can get the overs minus 105, the unders minus around minus 115. So expect this to be a low-scoring game. I looked at the team totals, but there was just no value in those prices. So what I am on is no runs in the first inning, and I got that on FanDuel at minus 118. I think both these pitchers, Alcantara is pitching great. Nola's pitching up to his potential or what people think Nola can do lately. And it's a little risky because the top of these lineups are doing well. And the Marlins actually hit quite well on the road. Well, not quite well. They hit better. I think they're top third, maybe even top 20% of the league in home runs or power on the road, oddly enough. But I'm not sure they can get the Nola or Alcantara early. So I'm going to go no runs first inning, minus 118 in this game because the numbers I just don't like. I like Alcantara. I like him a lot. The Phillies in Philadelphia, though, traditionally a hitter-friendly park. And with that lineup, you've got Alcantara as a righty. You've got Schwarber, who's been hot lately, leading off. He's a lefty. Rhys Hoskins is a righty. Then you got Bryce Harper's a lefty. Castellanos can take anybody deep. Realmuto's a righty. And then Gregorius, number six, is a lefty. And then they've got Alec Bohm's a righty, but Odubel Herrera is a lefty, and Bryson Stott is a lefty. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lefties, including Schwarber and Harper right at the top of the lineup. Do they get to Alcantara? I'm not sure because nobody really has been able to get to him this year. But at 7.5, that's a pretty short number for me. So I'm staying away from that. And even the plus 110, I can't really back, even with Alcantara on the mound, not really willing to back Miami in Philadelphia, who have finally woken up since firing Joe Girardi. So if anything, I would look to the Phillies, but at minus 130 against Alcantara, that's a tough one as well. So just going to stick with the no runs first inning and see how that plays. Next game of the night has the Baltimore Orioles in Toronto. The Orioles start young righty Kyle Bradish, and the Jays go with their ace, Alek Manoah. Manoah has pitched really well this year. He's, I would say, in contention for the Cy Young in the AL. Quality starts in 10 of his 11 outings, and that is why you get the Jays at home at minus 300. You can get the O's on the road at plus 240. The Jays, even the run line, is minus 140. The total here is 8.5. Anything, I would look to the over. The Jays don't tend to let Manoah go long in games, so even if he shuts them down for 5, 6, 6-plus innings, maybe 7 innings, it's probably not going to be a close game, so they're not going to be bringing in the best of their bullpen, and their bullpen is average at best. So I see the Jays getting to Bradish. The Jays' bats have really woken up, hitting well. I could see them scoring some runs in Bradish, and then maybe the O's getting to the Jays bullpen late to get that total at or around 8, 8.5. The problem is I just see Manoah being able to shut down the O's for the first 6 or 7. So there's a good chance it gets to around 8, but not really willing to touch that number at 8.5. And plus 240, sure, you could argue there's value because anybody can win on any day. But Manoah, I believe, is 11-0 at home in his major league starts in Toronto. So I think this is a game the Jays win easy, but never laying -300 and not laying -140 on the run line. The next game is an interesting one. We go to the White Sox are in Detroit to play the Tigers. Chicago starts Lance Lynn, his first game of the year after coming back from injury. And the Tigers go with righty Ronny Garcia. You can get Lance Lynn and the Sox -135. You can get the Tigers at +115. Total here is 8. And if anything, I would look to the under 8. It's at +100. I was in Detroit on the weekend, on Friday night, watched the Jays beat them 10-1. And they came back and beat the Jays the next game, then lost 6-0 yesterday. And Detroit's lineup really, really struggles. When you look at this lineup, so just to quickly go through it, Victor Reyes leading off, Jonathan Schoop hitting second, Austin Meadows third. All three guys are having bad years. Let's just call it what it is, just bad years. Miggy Cabrera is actually having a good year. Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, Miggy Cabrera is having a good year. Not hitting for a lot of pop, but having a decent year in the four hole. We have number 5 as Harold Castro. Number 6, Javi Baez, who's got only a handful of home runs and has just been brutal in Detroit. Robbie Grossman's our 7th hitter. Spencer Torkelson has a great career ahead of him, I think, but has really struggled out of the gate in the 8 hole. And then Tucker Barnhart as your catcher. That is a weak, weak hitting lineup. They just haven't been able to put it together. And, you know, some decent veterans in there, and Baez and Grossman. Torkelson's a great prospect. Miggy's Miggy. Austin Meadows going to get hot for a run. But this year, and you know, when you got Reyes and Schoop at the top of the lineup, that doesn't scare me. I don't think that scares anybody. So I don't see them scoring a lot of runs. And at this total of 8, I would look to the under. And I would look to Lance Lynn in Chicago. I know he hasn't pitched this year. So what's he going to give you? Does he go 4 or 5? He's probably on a pitch count limit. But the back end of their bullpen is decent, and if Lynn can get through 5, I could see him shutting down Detroit, to be honest with you, and limiting them a fair bit. So if anything, I would look to the under 8, and it's at +100. And I would look to maybe the money line with Chicago at -135. You can get the run line for the White Sox at +125. Not a lot of value there. So maybe the money line at -135 and the under 8. Next game, we see Pittsburgh start a series in St. Louis against the Cards. Pittsburgh throws righty Mitch Keller, and the Cards start lefty Zach Thompson. And that'd be interesting if Pittsburgh threw their Zach Thompson against St. Louis's Zach Thompson. So Thompson's been mainly in the bullpen this year. Don't expect he'll go very – it's not. I don't think this is a bullpen game for the Cards by any means, but if he goes 3 or 4 years, I'd be – years, 3 or 4 innings, I'd be surprised. So you can get Keller and the Pirates at +165. You can get Thompson and the Cards at -185. Total here is 9. And if anything, I would look to maybe the run line of the Cards. It's -1.5, obviously, but it's +105. Not a lot of value there. This is stay away from me. I'm just not a Mitch Keller supporter, but a +165 and all that jumps off the page to a lot of people. I like the Cards. I like them at home. It's supposed to get hot. St. Louis is heating up. It's supposed to be about 100 degrees there tonight. At game time, I've heard, but at -185, you can't bat the Cards with Zach Thompson on the mound. So this game's a stay away from me. Should be interesting. Total of 9. You'd like to think they could be run scored with those pitchers, but the Pirates' offense does not scare anybody either. And I don't know if I think they can get to Thompson, but are they going to throw up 4 or 5 runs and then the Cards match that to get over the 9, 9.5 that the number's bouncing around? I don't see it. So stay away from me as well. 8:05 in East, we have the Padres traveling to Chicago to play the Cubs. Yu Darvish is on the hill for the Padres. You can get them -130 in the money line. And young lefty Justin Steele is on the hill for the Cubs. You can get them +110 in the money line. Total here is 9. Last report I heard is the wind is blowing kind of cross field right to left, so you're not getting the Wrigley Field bump with the wind blowing out. And if anything, I know Darvish has had an inconsistent year, but I think he is a someone I would back here. The Cubs have been struggling, struggling a lot, actually. And I could see taking, not on it yet, but I could be on the Padres at -130 in the money line. You can get their run line at plus 125. So maybe that's a little bit better price. But if Darvish were a little more consistent, I'd be on that. But right now he hasn't been. And Justin Steele has had some good games to start, and he's been giving up a fair bit of hits lately. Also a lefty, and you're going against the Padres lineup that starts Profar as a switch hitter. Cronenworth, he's been struggling. He's a lefty. But then you go Manny Machado as a righty, Luke Voit as a righty. Hosmer is a lefty. Haesung Kim is a righty. Austin Nola is a righty. Trent Grisham in the 8-hole is a lefty. And Jose Azuara is a righty. So you've got a few righties there. You've got three natural lefties in the lineup. I think the Pods have the ability to get to Justin Steele for a few runs. And I think Darvish can shut down the Cubs. The Cubs have just been struggling. And, you know, when you've got Jason Hayward and Nick Madrigal, granted, they're their 8th and 9th hitters, but they're not really adding a whole lot to your offense. And their whole offense this year has been struggling. So all that to say, I'm not really on the Cubs. I'm on the Padres, minus 130. A little steep. If I get that a little cheaper, I jump on Darvish. I'm just going to probably sit back and watch that game. The next game, we have Cincinnati traveling to Arizona to start a series with D-backs. You can get Mike Minor in. The lefty Mike Minor is on the hill for Cincinnati. You can get them at plus 135. And righty Merrill Kelly is on the hill for the D-backs, minus 155. Total here is 8.5. And I would not really want to back either of these pitchers. Merrill Kelly started this year, and he was a trendy, certainly in fantasy circles, he was a trendy pick. But then the last few outings, he has not looked good at all. And the Reds were god-awful to start the year. Everybody's talking about them setting records for losses, and they've woken up. Not necessarily behind Mike Minor, whose ERA is well over 4 this year. I don't think either of these guys are pitching all that well. Total 8.5. It's in Arizona. It's starting to get hot there as well. Does the ball fly out a little more, perhaps? I think, if anything, I would look to the over. Right now I'm seeing it about at 8.5, about minus 110, the usual. So I think I would look to the over here, or maybe the first 5 innings over. Let me just see if I can pull that line up quickly. It's probably going to be about 4.5 or 5. When we go the first 5, we get an over 4.5 and minus 115. I might look to that. That's probably the number I'm going to look at. 4.5. Over 4.5 for the first 5 innings at minus 115. I think the Reds' bats have been hot lately. They've certainly woken up. Joey Votto came back from injury, then COVID. He's been crushing the ball. And so is Tommy Pham, oddly enough. Brandon Drury's back in the lineup, I believe. Nick Senzel has been hitting well. Highly touted prospect of years gone by. When that guy gets hot, he can put things together. And he's been hot lately. So I like the Reds to score a few runs against Kelly and Minor to give up a few runs. So I'm probably going to look in the first 5 over in that game. Second last game of the night sees Kansas City travel to the West Coast to play the Giants. You get young righty Brady Singer on the hill for the Royals. And you get Alex Wood, lefty, on the hill for the Giants. You can get Singer and the Royals at plus 150. You can get Wood and the Giants at minus 170. Total here is 8. If anything, I might look the over here as well. It's at plus 100. Neither of these guys have been pitching all that well. Problem is neither lineups have been hitting all that well. So questions are, I don't think it's going to be a great pitching matchup, but it's a matter of whether these lineups can generate any offense to get over 8. I think they probably can. So if anything, I would lean to the 8. I like the Giants to win, but 9 at minus 170, and their run line is at plus 125. So I'm off that as well. Maybe I'll definitely lean to the Giants, but can't find any value of those numbers, so maybe lean to the over 8 at plus 100. Final game of the night sees Minnesota also travel to the West Coast to play the Mariners in Seattle. For the Twins, you can get Chris Archer, the righty, on the hill at minus 105, and for the M's, you can get the righty Chris Flexen at minus 115. Total here, 8.5. And I'm completely off this game. I can't get a handle on Chris Archer. He's pitched actually surprisingly well. Not great, but better than what I thought. They're finally letting him get to 5 innings or more. So if he continues that trend, he could probably limit the M's. And Chris Flexen's been hot and cold, more cold lately than hot. So I can't really back him, although they are the favorites here. I don't know where the offense is going to come from, but neither of these pitchers have been stymieing hitters. So bit of a contradiction there, I know, and I'm not really sure which way to go. So at minus 105 for the Twins and minus 115 for the M's, stay away from me. Total 8.5. You can get the M's in the money line, pardon me, the run line at plus 175. So if you have some guts, there's some value there, but probably stay away from me. So In general, I like the Miami Philly no runs in the first inning -118. I like the Cubbies. Sorry, I like the Padres against the Cubbies just straight on the money line at about -130. Going to shop that, see if I can get a better price closer to the game. And I don't think I hit on this one, but I do like Houston. Sorry, I think I skipped this game. Houston at Texas. What was I doing there? Houston has righty Christian Javier on the mound, and Texas has young lefty Taylor Hearn. You can get the Astros -160 and Hearn and the Rangers +140, or the run line for the Astros at +110. And Hearn has not been pitching well this year. He started out, had a good couple games to start, and has been hit pretty hard, and tends to give up the long ball. And as a lefty, you've got going against righty Altuve, lefty Brantley, who hits lefties well. Righty Bregman, Alvarez is hot. He's a lefty. Yuri Gurriel in the five spot is a righty. Kyle Tucker has been hitting well against everybody, but he's a lefty. And then Pena, McCormick are righties, and Maldonado is a righty as well as catcher. So I think they have the ability to get their Hearn. The total of 9, I'm not really going to touch that because Javier has the ability to shut Texas down, although they've been hitting a little better lately. But a -160, I might just put one unit. I regularly go 1.6 units, but that's a little too steep for me. So I might do one unit on the Astros just because I think they win that game. I just don't have faith in Hearn. And the Astros on the road have oddly been better than at home this year. They've been good at home, but they've been much better on the road. So good luck at Houston on the money line there. San Diego on the money line, like I said, and no runs first inning. Miami, Philly is probably all that I'm on tonight. I might look at that over in the Cincinnati-Arizona game. However, I think all eyes will be glued on the NBA and what should be a great game 5. I'm going to be on the Celtics +4. And not sure about that total. Like I said, in the 2 games they've won, the totals have sailed well over that, 228, 226. But not really sure I'm going to be touching. Maybe lean to the over in that total, a little sprinkle there, but we'll see. Closer to game time. So hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown. And we'll be back to recap the NBA game tomorrow and talk a big game in MLB hoops and the start of the Stanley Cup, which starts on Wednesday. So everybody have a great night. Hopefully you're profitable in some games that you're playing, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.